Hello and welcome to Talking Europe. My guest is a leading light in the European socialist galaxy. Elio Di Rupo is a former Prime Minister of Belgium, a former Minister President of Wallonia, the French-speaking part of Belgium, and he led the Belgian socialists in the last European election this June. He's now an MEP. Well, France and Belgium have recently faced political deadlock and alarm over the state of their public finances. Indeed, both countries are under surveillance by the European Commission over their budget. So that's some of the issues that we're going to discuss today. Elio Di Rupo, thank you so much for being my guest.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
You were an MEP in 1989, so this is not your first time here, but since then you had these high positions, as I mentioned, including Belgian Prime Minister. Why did you decide to come back here?
Because now the European Parliament has a very crucial, important role, a role of co-decision, and it's also the place where the MEP represents all the population, the European population. And I think in the European institutions, we need a place where members of parliament, representatives can speak not only with the Commission about policies, but also the reality of the life of our population. And believe me, it's not so easy as you can find in the reports. When I read reports, everything it's okay, but it's not true. In Europe, there are a lot of poverty. There are a lot of problems. There are also economic problems with high cost of energy, energy cost, a lack of innovation, slow digital transition. Mario Draghi, in his report, has said, above all, Europe has a strategic myopia. It's a terrible expression, and I think it's true because sometimes we have the impression that the European institution are far away the reality, and the European Parliament is here to explain what is the reality of the people and to change the policy of the European institutions.
So speaking of the economic challenges, you've been very critical of the renegotiated budget rules that the EU has agreed to, because you say that this will bring austerity back to Europe. It will impact people who don't have very much money. And indeed, Belgium is estimated at needing 27 billion euros in savings over the next 7 years.
Yes. I am for an equilibrium of the budget in general. But if we are in such a position, for example, in Belgium, it's also due to the reality of COVID, to the south of Belgium with a flood, and a lot of investment. Indeed, we can go to a better equilibrium of the budget, but my feeling is that 4 or 7 years, especially for the debt and for the deficit, it's a very short time. But there is another big problem, is the following. We have to construct, to set up the Europe of defense. We have to invest in cutting-edge technology. We have also to face the climate, with at least the decarbonization of our economy. Mario Draghi has said that we need €800 billion per year, and I think at least 10 years. And so how are we going to match the two priority, first on the budget, and secondly, for another Europe, if you see globally, Europe has fallen in comparison of its global competitors, China, US. So, well.
Let's talk about some of the other news that's been very much at the forefront in recent days. Germany introducing checks at national border crossings to curb irregular migration, and also presenting a plan to detain asylum seekers close to its border and to fast-track returns to other EU countries. What do you make of this situation?
I think that Orbán looks for a provocation.
I'm talking about Germany.
Yes. But yes. And Germany is a response of the behavior of Orbán. And you cannot speak about the behavior of Germany without having in the mind what has done or will done by Orbán. Orbán is one of the most problem now in Europe, and especially with the war in Ukraine. You know very well the situation, and indeed Germany has a response in comparison of the action of Orbán.
I take your point, but together, taken together, the Hungarian and German actions, are they, if you put them together, are they making a mockery of the asylum and migration pact, which was just approved?
Now, the migration policy is very difficult. There is no simple solution. Indeed, we have to take in account the suffering of the population, and also we cannot say, okay, we open fully open the border and that's it. So we have to find a medium way, a just way, and I think we need to be clear about the conditions to come in Europe. But we need migration. We need the immigrant. The migration is very, very important for our economy.
So on these buses of migrants, which Hungary says it will send to Brussels, the mayor of this city, of Brussels, yes, who's from the same party as you, he says that the Belgian government should block these buses at the border. Is that a solution? So everybody closes their borders one by one?
You know, the far right is always provoking the situations to show that they are strong men, strong women, able to solve the problems. It's not the reality. So I understand the reaction of the mayor of Brussels.
Elie d'Europa, your country holds the world record for the longest government formation. It was 541 days.
That's
and you took over as prime minister at the end of that quite difficult period. Are we now in a comparable political deadlock in Belgium? Because, of course, there's now another attempt to form a government here.
But I think we must be patient, because they are talking, discussing, and we have also a municipal election on the 13th of October 13th. So I'm not sure, but I think that the negotiators are maybe waiting this election before to set up the government, a right-wing government.
But it's with a very broad range of ideologies, potentially.
Yes, do you think indeed. They can work together? When I was prime minister, in my government six political parties, and for the institutional reforms with eight political parties. That's the way. Which use the Belgium to solve the problems. But until now, Belgium is a great country with a great quality of life. And I see that a lot of people coming in Brussels are very happy to be here. So, well, we have difficulties, but we solve the problems.
We'll end it there on that upbeat note from Elio Di Rupo, MEP and former Prime Minister of Belgium. Do stay with us here. We're going to bring you in part two of this programme a debate with two MEPs on the question of Ukraine and EU support for the country as this political year gets going again. So do stay with us here on Talking Europe.